sung a lot of them. So thank God for singing. Amen. Hey, have you thought about this week how good God has been to you? You know, the Bible says the Lord is good. Nahum 1:7. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Have you thought about this week? Hey, were you free this week in America? Did you have freedom? Here's a dumb question. Forgive me. Did you eat this week? Oh, me is probably the answer to that. Amen. I know it is for me. Listen. I know some are, but most of us weren't confined to a sick bed this week. Did we lose our heavenly citizenship this week? I don't think we did. I don't think our salvation went away this week. God's been good to us, amen. Think about God's goodness. I think about my salvation that day, and I'll be giving my testimony in two weeks from this morning. If you think of somebody that you could think maybe somebody that doesn't know Christ that would be blessed by that testimony of somebody years ago who was in a band and going the wrong way, and you think, man, invite them to come here in 2 weeks from today. But I think about my salvation. I think about my relationship with Christ, how the song in the garden says, and He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. Amen. I think about that. I think about my precious wife and how I'm so blessed to be her husband. I think about my children and how God is blessed. I think of my mom being here. I think of my church family and the loving family that we are. And that's a great spot for an amen right there. I think about my own health. I think about my own health and how good God has been to me. I think about people that struggle with health, and yet God, I'm able to get up and walk. If you ever see me in the hospital, if you ever see me when I'm visiting at the hospital, you probably won't see me at the hospital, but when I visit at the hospital, I kid you not, when I go down those hallways, Miss Kim, I never walk like this. When I walk in the hospital, it's like this. And people say, why do you walk like that, Pastor? And I usually say, because I like to eat, amen, and that helps burn the calories. But part of it is I'm also thankful that I can walk. I'm thankful that I can keep a brisk pace. By the way, good to see you, Mr. Jordan. Thank you for that, amen. Mr. Jordan, many of you remember, I saw the article a while back. Mr. Jordan walked, 80,000 miles, amen. All those years. Thank God for that. Amen, Mr. Jordan. Really. I think of our five senses. I think of hearing. And I know for some of us, our hearing is going. And some of you would say, mine's gone, Pastor. Amen. I think about the ability to touch. Something I do with my boys, especially, is I always caress their faces. When my kids were real little, real, real little, I used to just caress their leg. Just touch. There's something about touch. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. Touch. I think of course, we mentioned hearing, touch, taste. Glory to God. Uncle Joe and I had lunch this week. Hallelujah. Amen. For pork chop at Steak's Eatery. Amen. That's good taste right there. Hallelujah. I think about smell. Yeah. The beautiful smells. Oh my goodness. I think about spring and as it comes and you start smelling the flowers again. I don't know about you, there are certain smells I love. I love the smell of a wood fire. Isn't that nice? I love the smell of fresh cut grass in the summertime. I know some of you get you start ragweed. I love, but you know what? Of all the five senses, I think probably the one we take for granted most. I've noticed it lately. I'll be writing in my Bible, Brother Ewald, and I'll get to writing real close, and then I'll have to do one of these. Some of you know what it's like to play trombone with the newspaper, amen? Just, you know what that's like. I think about sight. And here in our text in the book of Isaiah, by the way, is an incredible book, the prophetic book of Isaiah. It really breaks down into three major categories. In chapters 1 through 35, we have the prophecies of condemnation. And first of all, their prophecies against Judah. He starts off by dealing with his people. And by the way, that's always where God starts off dealing with judgment. Amen. Dealing with his people. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we can get to condemning the world and all that, but the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. The reason the world is in the mess that it's in is because the church has been a mess for 50 years. And so he starts off dealing with that, with judgment of Judah, but then he deals with the nations, Moab and Assyria and all that. Well, then you have not only the prophecies of condemnation, but then you kind of have the parenthesis of King Hezekiah. And many of you know he was one of the great kings of Judah in verses 36, 37, 38, and 39. And then, glory to God, you have the prophecies of comfort. The deliverance and deliverer of Israel and Israel's glorious future. And I'm here to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, as a preacher who believes that Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, God is not done with Israel. He's not done with her. And so we read that. And in our text, we read in chapter number 6, which is during those that prophecy of condemnation of Judah. We read, first of all, if you just look by way of introduction, verses 1 through 3, we have the vision. Isaiah has this vision of God. And then we see in verses 4 through 5, the reaction. What is his reaction when Brother Mike, he gets a good look at God? I'll tell you what his reaction is. Woe is me. You know, when I think of society today, and forgive me, when I think of the church body as a whole, think of the phrase, Brother Becker, there is no fear of God before their eyes. If we got a good glimpse of God, we'd be on our faces quickly. And so we see the vision, we see the reaction. I love verses 6 and 7. We'll look at it in just a little bit. But we see the purification. That one that thought he was so sinful could have his sins forgiven. And then we see his commission, verses 8 through 13. But it starts off with the phrase in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. The death of King Uzziah, also known in the scriptures as Azariah, was a national tragedy. He had reigned righteously over Judah for 52 years. He began to reign at the age of just 16 years old. And the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. If you know your Bible history, you know that when Solomon died, the kingdom broke into two. You had the 10 tribes to the north and the 2 tribes to the south. And in those 10 tribes to the north, they had several kings, and not one of them, not one of them was righteous. And just a few in the southern kingdom were righteous. And Uzziah was one of them. But I want to say this. Uzziah was not perfect. He was not perfect. The Bible says in 2 Kings 15:4 that he didn't destroy the high places. Those places that were known for perversion, for idolatrous worship of idols. He didn't destroy those. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26:16 that he was lifted up with pride because of his victories. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this as a sidebar. Beware of the sin of pride. It's very sneaky. You say, what is pride? Pride is you thinking that you are better than somebody else. Only by pride cometh contempt. Hey, the sin that is the mother of all sin is pride. Did not Lucifer, was not he lifted up with pride when he said, I'm going to be God? So he was lifted up with pride. He didn't destroy the high places. He usurped the priest's office, which he was not supposed to do. And because of that, and the Bible does not say when, but we think in his later years, he was struck with leprosy and lived apart from God's people because of that leprosy, because of that sin. And so here, at the age of 68, he dies. He dies. And the nation is overwhelmed, and Isaiah is stunned. But however, in this day of dark clouds, there's a sunbeam in this text. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, what are the next two words, church? I saw. Uzziah died. And because of his death, Isaiah got a fresh glimpse, a fresh look at the Lord. The title of our message today is called Look. Look. When I was a child, I had a record player in my room. And I had these comic book records. They were called Power Records. I wish I still had them unscratched for the law. They'd be worth a fortune. Amen. But mine had lots of scratches on them. Hallelujah. And there was one we had, and it was called Superman. From 1975, Power Records. And it was called The Man from Krypton. Anybody, you remember Superman, amen? I remember watching George Reeves, amen? And they'd have his cape flapping. I don't know how they did that with a fan or whatever. But it would say at the beginning, faster than a speeding bullet. Remember that? More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. And then always the man would say, look! Up in the sky! It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's... They would say, look! You know, I want us to take some looks at the Bible, if we could do that today. Number one, Isaiah... By the way, Isaiah looked, and he looked by faith. The Bible says in Romans 1:20, the invisible things are clearly seen. Do you know that? The invisible things of God are clearly seen. We look out at the creation. If you can't see God, it's because God has been educated out of you. You look out, you see leaves, you see trees, you see everything bringing forth after its kind. You see God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, for it tells us to look not on temporal things, but look at eternal things. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I want us to take some look. You know, if we're not careful, we can get overcome, number one this morning, by the dismaying outward look. You say, what, Pastor, is the dismaying outward look? Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear and the looking after those things which are coming on the earth. I don't know about you, but you have to read a newspaper. You don't have to read an internet column to understand that the world is not getting better. Hey, I thank God for medical science. Amen. Hey, we got folks in this room with replacement parts.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I know you're thankful medical science has gotten better. I think about dentistry and things like that. You see the old West, you know. They're getting ready to take a bullet out of a guy. Here, bite down on this piece of leather. Oh, amen. I'm glad for anesthesia and all those things. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about wars and rumors of wars. I'm talking about despots possessing weapons that could send the whole world into chaos. I'm talking about sin going deeper and deeper and get, and as the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. Truth is being trampled. Sin's advancing. Apathy amongst God's people.
Come on.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. Apathy. Oh, I can't do anything. I just go home to my house. No, listen, ladies and gentlemen. If we're not careful, we can look around us and just get completely dismayed. Losing on all fronts. The dismaying outward look. Secondly, not only is there the dismaying outward look, there's what I call the dismissing sideward look. The dismissing sideward look. Anybody remember the story of Moses? And why he had to flee from Egypt? You remember the story of Moses, and it's such a wonderful story how his parents were not afraid of the king's commandment, and there came a point where they just couldn't conceal him anymore, and they put him in that little ark and put him down the river, and the Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he wept, and she called him Moses because she drew him out of the water, and then he grew up in Egypt, but there came a point where he realized that he was a Hebrew, And he realized that he didn't belong in the palace. He belonged with his people. And you remember, he saw an Egyptian smiting one of his brethren. And remember the story. Moses killed that man. But, Miss Carol Ann, before he killed that man, he went like this. Yep. He looked this way, and he looked that way. Somebody said, but he never looked that way. Up to God. You say, what's the dismissing side word look, Pastor? That's where we justify our own sins by looking at what this person is doing or not doing and what that person is doing or not doing. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:12 tells us not to do that. It says, we dare not count ourselves among those that compare themselves among themselves and are not wise. You see, and by the way, thank God Moses was forgiven. If you don't believe that, read Matthew chapter 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration and look who was with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. But we can have that, not only that dismaying outward look, we can have that dismissive sideward look where we're just looking to see what others are doing and comparing. Hey, I don't know about you, but thirdly, a look of life is the distressing inward look. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? What's the distressing inward look? Well, as I've said so many times, I know whom I shave. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? The Apostle Paul said this, oh, wretched man that I am. You say, what do you mean? I know who I am without Christ. I know who I am. I like to think that I'm not capable of some things, but Brother Jeff, I know better. I'm capable of anything that any lost man does on a daily basis. I'm capable of that. I don't know about you, fellows and ladies, but that can be distressing. You know, you ever fail God? Yeah, hang on. If I could raise all my limbs, I would do it. Amen. How many times I fail God? Hand, foot. Foot, yes, fail God. Daily basis, gets distressing. Think, my goodness, is there ever going to come a day where I don't fail God? The dismaying outward look, the dismissing sideward look, the distressing inward look. You know, there's also the disastrous backward look. Hey, the Bible says in Luke 9:62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Anybody remember, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, remember Lot's wife. What do we remember about Lot's wife? Brother Ken, she looked back. God said, get out, don't look back, just go forward. And someone said, Lot got her out of Sodom, but he never got Sodom out of her. And she turned around, she became a pillar of salt. Literally consumed. If you have come out of sin, don't look back. Don't look back. Hey, I don't mean don't try to reach those people that you were back with. I've been sending Christmas cards for 22 years to people that I used to party with, that I used to do all kinds of awful and evil things with, and send them Christmas cards. But you know what? We're not going to go to a bar and hang out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? That's a disastrous backward look. Disastrous backward look. The distressing inward look. The dismissing sideward look. The dismaying outward look. I love number 5, the delightful upward look. The delightful upward look. Hey, we see it here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. What does it say there? It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord also high and lifted up. Psalm chapter 34, verse number 5 says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, listen, when the dismaying outward look overcomes us, when there's that dismissing sideward look, when there's that distressing inward look, when there's that disastrous backward look, praise God, there's a delightful upward look. We can look unto him. And I'll tell you some things about this text I want us to notice. Five quick points. When you have that delightful upward look, we gain some new things. I'll tell you the first thing we gain is a new awareness of his character. Verses 1 through 4, really verse 3 starts there. It says, in that one seraphim, it's the only time that seraphims are mentioned, these six-winged angels, these special angels, and they appear to have one job, and that is this. One cried unto another, saying, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him. Imagine that, you poor fellows that work our construction around here. Imagine if a seraphim came in here and said, holy, 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 and the whole church started shaking. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you have that delightful upward look, you get a new awareness of his character. I'm going to tell you something that's not preached very much anymore. The holiness of God. And it is the attribute, those of you theologians in the room, it is the attribute from which all others spring about God. The fact is, our God is holy. He's not the man upstairs. He's not your gray-bearded buddy. He's holy God. You get an awareness of his character when you have that delightful upward look. Secondly, not only we get an awareness of his character, but I'll tell you what, we get a new alarm at our own carnality. We get a new alarm at our own... Hey, what did Isaiah say, verse 5? Woe is me, for I am undone. We read this week on Wednesday night, and I mentioned it already, but we read Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 could be the companion passage to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 1, says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Isaiah said, I have no chance. I'm carnal and he's holy. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to burst your righteous bubble, but without Christ, we have no chance. We are wicked sinners. You say, you, Pastor, I'm the chief of sinners in this room. So there. Amen. You say, oh, no, not you, Pastor. Hey, listen, if Paul was chief, we're all Indians, okay? Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. We get an awareness of his character. We get a new alarm at our own carnality. You know what, Peter, remember the story of Jesus coming to Peter and recruiting them, and he said to Peter, he said, hey, why don't you cast your net on the right side? And you have to know that, listen, Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishermen. Now, again, when somebody tells you how to do something that you know pretty well, I'll never forget in my job, we got a new CEO, and he didn't stay very long. I worked at a company where we had 32 employees, and we did $35 million in net sales. That's $1 million in employees. Pretty good. We kind of all knew our jobs and knew what to do. And this man came and said, why don't you do this? And I said, well, we can't do that because the customer requires this. Well, why don't you do this? He said, well, the procedures that we have that have your signature on them say, I can't do that. I kind of knew how to do my job, Brother Tom. Amen. Now, this had to be a situation where Peter had to say, I've been fishing a little while. Lord Jesus, why don't you cast your net on the right side? And Peter said, You know what? We've toiled all night, caught nothing. Might as well. Nevertheless, at thy word. And what happened? The net was so full that it broke. And you know what Peter did? He fell down on his knees before the Lord and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." You know, when you get an awareness of God's character, it comes with an alarm of our own carnality. We know who we are. We know who we are. We're sinners before Him. But then, number three, under that delightful upward look, there's an awareness of His character. There's an alarm at our carnality. I love this. According to verses 6 and 7, you remember what happened? He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips." And He sent an angel that took a live coal off the altar, and He put it to His lips, and He purged His unclean lips. You know what that tells me, Miss Carol Ann? Not only the awareness of His character, not only the alarm of His carnality, but the assurance of His care. Listen, you come to God as a helpless sinner, and you're going to find out He cares about helpless sinners. You know what He said in His word? He said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You're going to realize, ladies and gentlemen, of the assurance of His care. You're going to realize that He truly does care. Romans 8:32 is such a tremendous verse of Scripture. It was the president of the Bible college I went to, Dr. Tom Malone, was his life verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And if you ever wanted a verse that told you that God cared, it's Romans 8:32, because it says this. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" You know what that tells me? That the God who cared enough to give me His Son to pay for my sins cares about all the other things too. There's an awareness of His character when we have that delightful upward look. There's an alarm of our own carnality. There's the assurance of His care. I love this. There's an alignment with His compassion. What do you mean, Pastor? Look at verse 8 of our text. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." There's an alignment with His compassion. You remember when His disciples, it's a great story in the Bible. He won the woman at the well. And she'd somebody that had been married 5 times, was living with somebody that wasn't her husband. Jesus won her to Himself. He said, "You may want water, but I'm the well." Amen. "And you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again." And she went and got all the people to see. She said, "Come see a man." And the Bible says that His disciples marveled that He talked with her. First of all, she was a Samaritan. Second of all, she was a woman who came to the well at a time during the day when the reputable women didn't. Amen? But Jesus stops and He says to His disciples, "Look unto the fields." You say that they're 4 months and then cometh harvest. He says, "Look unto the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." Lamentations 3:51 says, "My eye affecteth mine heart." When you get a good look, you get that delightful upward look, I'll tell you what, you'll gain a new alignment with His compassion. You'll see people not as problems, but as people. Yeah, hey, you'll see them not with all their issues and baggage and all that, but souls for whom Jesus died. It starts with that upward look, doesn't it? If we don't start with the upward look, we just see them as almost, forgive me, almost zombies just walking by us. Just there they are, they're passing by. Well, that delightful upward look, it starts When we have that delightful, like Isaiah, starts with an awareness of His character, an alarm of our carnality, the assurance of His care, the alignment with His compassion. Look, saw an incredible poem called "I'm Sorry, Lord, I Can't Make It." 10 future missionaries heard God's call divine. One was married wrongly. That left only 9. 9 future missionaries. They could hardly wait. Mother needed one, though. That left only 8. 8 future missionaries bound for God in heaven. One got to making money. That left only 7. 7 future missionaries. If each only one sticks. One lost out completely. That left only 6. 6 future missionaries for the Lord alive. One preferred the homeland. That left only 5. 5 future missionaries wait an open door. One grew tired of waiting. That left only 4. 4 future missionaries bound for eternity. One no longer willing. That left only 3. 3 future missionaries for the need, how few. One the board rejected. That left only 2. 2 future missionaries, a daughter and a son. One developed ulcers. That left only 1. 1 future missionary thanked the Lord for him. He refused to ever let the vision dim. Body, soul, and spirit he to God did yield. Now for years he's labored on the foreign field. God in heaven rejoices, blessed child of mine, you have done my will. But where are the 9? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you get a good look at God, you'll get in alignment with His compassion. I think the reason why more of us don't pass out tracts, I think the reason why more of us don't try to witness, is because we just hadn't got a good look at God in a long time. And we need to. Amen. That's a good spot for an amen. We need a fresh look at God. Look. Amen. Look. But then not only is there an awareness of His character and alarm at our carnality and assurance of His care and alignment with His compassion, I'll tell you what else there is. There's an alertness of His coming. There's an alertness of His coming. We look and we see, and those of us who know what the Bible says about the coming of the Lord, and I preached on that a couple weeks ago, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What does the Bible say in Luke 21:28? And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, I don't know about you. I see the way the world's going. That dismaying outward look. I see the way things are progressing. I see people calling good evil and evil good and calling those who stand for good evil. I see it all. I see it happening all around us. And I'll tell you what, if you're not careful, we can just bow our heads and weep, or we can lift them up because we know He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's the dismaying outward look. There's the dismissing sideward look. There's the distressing inward look. There's the disastrous backward look. There's the delightful upward look, which results in an awareness of His character, an alarm of our carnality, an assurance of His care, an alignment with His compassion, alertness of His coming. But there's another look in the Bible. And it's found in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter number 16. And I call it the despairing heavenward look. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? How could looking toward heaven ever be despairing? Well, it depends where you're looking from. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse number 19, and there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. The despairing heavenward look is for those who refuse the salvation that God offers. They will lift up their eyes in hell for all eternity. I cannot imagine what hell's like. I've tried to preach on it before, Brother Bill. I have preached on it many times. For all eternity. Not for a day. Not for a week. Not for a month. Not for a year. Not for a decade. Not for 100 years. Not for a millennium. Not for eon after eon. To look up and realize I could have been saved. In addition to the intense physical pain, the fire, the smoke, the torments that we can't even speak of. Look at them all up there, rejoicing around the throne. Nobody's sick. Nobody's dying. And all I am is dying forever. Listen, salvation's a serious thing. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, listen, if I thought getting down on my knees and wrapping my arms around your legs would get you saved, I'd do it. You have to choose. You have to choose. Choose you this day. Pilate said to the mob, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And that's a question you have to answer. See, the truth is we're all sinners. And we all owe the wages of sin. And every one of us owes. But Jesus Christ came to make the payment for sin. And the day that you say, "I believe, I trust Christ in His payment for my sins," He saves you. And your sins are taken care of. And you will never go to hell. But if you say, "You know what? I'm a good person. I don't need that. I give to charity. I'm kind to people." And listen to me. I don't think any of those are bad things in and of themselves. I think they're wonderful things. But that does not buy you. You're a sinner and you need to have your sins forgiven. And Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
I thought about that, Miss Carol Ann, that dismaying heavenward look. There's my family. Yeah. There's my family. All those times they invited me to church. And I went just because. And I heard that preacher preach. And in my heart I said, "No. No." And then one day I crossed God's dead line as no. And He never spoke to me again. And now I'm here for the rest of all eternity. If that's you today, can I tell you to change eternal addresses? Christians, you know somebody. You know somebody that's heading there. What are you doing about it? Well, no, not well. Hell. Not well. Hell. Well is no good in hell. Hmm? What are we doing about it? Hey, listen, I understand you can't browbeat somebody into the gospel. You can't hold their head down and make... I understand that. We can live in such a way and seek for opportunities to try to get the gospel to them. We said yesterday, it's the Word of God that does the work. We get the Word of God to people. I carry gospel tracts. Hey, some of you are going to go out for lunch today. Your waitress needs to be saved. Amen. She's a real person who's really heading for eternity for the rest of her life. Amen. Listen, that mechanic, unless it's Deke, he's already saved. Amen. But that the mechanic you do business with, he needs to be saved. That clerk at the store that you shop at, she needs to be saved. Your neighbor needs to be saved. That coworker needs to be saved. But you know what it takes from us that are Christians? Takes that delightful upward look, doesn't it? Got to get a fresh glimpse of God. Get a fresh glimpse of God. And the next thing you know, We'll see him for who he is, holy. We'll see ourselves for who we are, sinners. We'll get aligned with his compassion. Hey, listen, the God of heaven cares for the souls of mankind. I should too. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank